White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, your home for White Sox baseball, the White Sox and the Chicago Cubs coming up. 6:10, your first pitch, as you may be able to hear in the background, the gates to the ballpark are now open. The gates to the ballpark are now open. The gates to the ballpark will someday be open for our next guest here, Harry Tynowitz.
I like the way you did that. Yeah, it's Springsteen's birthday tomorrow, so we came out with Born to Run. This guy is born to pitch. And, you know, from single A to double A to closing out the Futures game, Dylan Cease has done everything amazingly. Dylan, thanks for joining Mark Kerman and myself on White Sox Weekly on WGN Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Dylan, Harry and I have given you an A for your performance this year at Winston-Salem, and then you even got better at double A. Just a phenomenal year for you. Are you grading yourself with that same A?
Yeah, I was really happy with how the year went, especially in terms of development. You know, in the minor leagues, obviously results are important, but it's really at the end of the day, are you getting more consistent with executing your pitches? And I feel like I did that, and I got a better feel. So it was definitely a good year.
And so last year you had to go in the off season, you had to rehab your shoulder a little bit, and now mm-hmm. you're ending the season fully healthy. And I've read where you're looking to add a couple pounds of muscle here, and just get yourself a little more physically in tune as you enter next year. Is that the first off season plan?
Yeah, and everyone's probably looking to do that at the end of the year. I'm going to follow my same routine I did last offseason and, you know, hopefully be at 205, 210 in spring training and be ready to go.
So with the dash in single A, with the Birmingham Barons in double A, 160 strikeouts in 23 starts, a 2.40 ERA and a 1.72 ERA in the 10 starts that followed you getting called up by Birmingham. I mean, these are spectacular numbers. These are numbers that have Sox fans talking about you being Rookie of the Year next year. Do you expect to break camp as part of the White Sox rotation in 2019?
Yes, thank you. I don't really know what to expect. All I can do is get ready and get myself in as good a shape as I can and put myself in a position to, you know, pitch well wherever they put me. So obviously that would be awesome and ideal, but you know, I'm not worried about it either way.
Yeah, and the next logical step obviously would be to go to AAA and be with Charlotte. And I guess some have said that you've formed a bond with Zach Collins down at Double A, and maybe you'll continue that at Triple A. What was it like working with a catcher who obviously White Sox fans, the White Sox are hoping will be here someday with you?
Yeah, I think I made probably 8 or 9 out of my 10 starts with him. So, you know, and actually a couple of my big league innings were with him as well. So we've definitely been able to build a little bit of that camaraderie. So hopefully he and I are in the same place to start out, and we get to keep working together. And his defensive skills are what really impressed me this year, as opposed to last year. He's really improved, so obviously the bat's going to be there, so it's pretty exciting.
All right, so give us the scouting reports, Dylan Cease, on Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. What's in your repertoire? If you're pitching well, what are you throwing?
I'm definitely throwing mostly fastballs. You know, when I'm going well, I'm just attacking with my fastball and getting ahead with off speed, and then, you know, when I'm really going well, I can go 2-0 and throw a curveball for a strike and, you know, make it really hard for hitters to be able to sit on any one pitch. But, I mean, for this year, it was really, especially in double A, I felt like I was throwing 3 or 4 pitches for a strike most every time I wanted to. So, that would be the scouting report when it's going well, at least.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Dylan Cease with us here on 720 WGN White Sox Weekly. You changed your grip courtesy of a little tip from Dane Dunning on your curveball. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I was talking to the guys, and I liked the shape of Dane's curveball. It stayed real straight, and then at the end, it just dipped a little bit, as opposed to where I felt like mine was kind of popping out of my hand a little bit. So I talked to him about it, and I think he said that James Shields taught him this one. And, of course, you know, somebody like James Shields shows you something, you should probably listen. So I got it from him. So It was definitely better. I want to say in TrackMan it had a couple more inches of depth to it and probably a little bit better spin. So, and it was easy for me to control, so that really helped up my game.
I'm assuming that's not easy to do, Dylan. Okay, I'm going to change my grip. I'm in the middle of a season, and I'm going to start flipping these at guys who are trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do, which is make it to the big leagues.
Yeah, I think it took me I think I implemented it the next start, and it probably took me a start or two to get a feel, but it was almost instant where I was really able to feel myself out in front with it. So I was fortunate with that, and with the slider, once I got to AA, I got a better feel for it. So I think it was probably just one of those things where I'd been working on it for however many months in high, and it finally started to come around for me to get a feel when I was in AA.
You know, some people will hear that and think, wow, Dunning's an awesome teammate. Other people will hear that and think, what is he doing that could cost him getting up to the Sox? You know, there's very
few.
He's
going to be up there.
Right. We think you're both going to be up here. But, I mean, there's very few guys that make it to where you are right now. And we mentioned all the strikeouts. We mentioned the minuscule ERA and AA. But what is it like when you're with all these guys and you're just waiting to see which one of you gets the next break, which one of you gets the next opportunity, who's going to get called up to the next level, and who's going to end up at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not. It's not like a rivalry or anything. I think we're all rooting for each other. And if anything, it's exciting, you know, especially like when Kopech made his debut, you know, we're all sitting there trying to go in between, you know, in between innings and watch him pitch. So it's unfortunately Dane wasn't able to finish the year, but I mean, he was having a great year. So who knows where he would have ended up. But for me, I think it's all fun.
Can you believe every time he pitched at home, it would get rain, like a thunderstorm, like a downpour?
I know, that was crazy.
Bizarre.
Crazy. Very bizarre.
So people want to know whether you've reached out to Kopech, Dylan, because you went through Tommy John. I mean, you had it all the way back in high school, different career path. Here's a guy who gets to the big leagues, and I mean, that's just got to be a huge blow. You finally make it here, and now you got to deal with, you know, taking the step back for a year. But has he reached out to you? Have you reached out to him? Do you have that relationship with him? And what's it going to be like for him the next, 6-12 months?
Yeah, I sent him a text message when I heard that he had to get it, just, you know, saying I'm sorry to hear it. But, fortunately, with as well as he takes care of his body and as well as he's going to rehab, it's probably going to be pretty easy for him. I reached out and just basically said, you know, do what you normally do, and you're going to knock it out. But he'll be fine.
Dylan, you are part of this major trade that went down. Quintana helped the Cubs get to where they needed to get to win a division, but Sox fans are smiling on the South side because you and Eloy Jimenez seem destined to be, you know, all-stars. It's Cubs-Sox weekend. Is there a difference in the organizations that you can speak about between being a Cub and being a Sox?
I mean, obviously the coaches, you know, the coaches are different, all that. Spring training locations are different. But at the end of the day, it's baseball's baseball. With the Cubs, I was younger, so I feel like they were probably a little bit more regimented and, you know, on top of me, where with the White Sox, I kind of have a little bit more leeway. And, you know, for instance, like I got here and I learned the slider, whereas the Cubs were pretty adamant on me just working on fastball, curveball, changeup, which, you know, it's probably smart at that age because you need to really build a good foundation before you start adding a bunch of things. So, I've been happy with both organizations, and I look forward to continuing my career with the White Sox.
Well, you've certainly pitched incredibly well against the Cubs affiliate, so which that had to be just a drop, right? Just a little bit of like, okay, I just want to remind you what you done. And obviously, the Cubs didn't want to deal you, but they had a need, and this is how, you know, it works in baseball. And they're rooting for you as you're moving on, the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely. You know, it's definitely no hard feelings. I hopefully both teams end up looking back and being happy with it. But I know Eloy's going to be a superstar someday, and hopefully I can be up there and help. And hopefully we can do something pretty special.
I want to rewind back to the Tommy John and Kopech, and more so yourself. What was the hardest part for you?
I think the hardest part for me was that was like the first time I was away from home, so it was kind of like it was, you know, I was right out of high school, so I still kind of had that high school kid mentality where I didn't really know how to handle things. But I mean, that was actually a really good learning experience, and it was tough. But I mean, it was rehab. I want to say it was like 10 straight months of rehabbing almost every day, and then, you know, one day I was thrown off the mound and all fastballs, and then you progress to, you know, mixing changeups and curveballs in, and then before you know it, you're back playing. So especially with Michael, I mean, he's going to be back. He'll be back, you know. I don't know when he's going to be pitching in the game, but his fastball velo and all that will be back in 9 months more than likely. So I think mentally it's probably the hardest part of it with any surgery, really.
Did you think you were going to college once you got hurt, Dylan? Because, you know, who knows who was going to take a chance on you? And, you know, the Cubs made you a sixth-round pick and paid you over slot money. But did you think you were going to be a college guy?
I remember thinking that more than likely I was going to end up at college. So I was a little bit surprised. I want to say my agent called me at the end of day one of the draft and said, you know, we might have something tomorrow between, I think it was the Cubs and the Astros. I can't remember who exactly, but it was one or two teams that were going to try to work something out. So I definitely went to sleep that night not knowing what the future was going to hold, but I was leaning towards college.
Oh, man, I do that every night. Dylan Cease for another couple minutes with Mark Carmen and me. I'm Harry. This is White Sox Weekly on WGN every Saturday. Tell us about the futures game. I mean, you're there. You're in the ninth inning. The whole world is watching, and your Sox teammates are on the opposition. What was that like to go to the hill and experience that?
Yeah, I think I remember warming up. I don't think I threw one pitch for a strike. I didn't have a great feel. But it's one of those things where half the time when you warm up like that, you go to the mound and you're spot for some reason. I just remember getting out there and, you know, obviously being amped up, but trying to control that and just throw strikes. So, I didn't face Basabe, but that would have been pretty funny.
How would that have ended?
I mean, statistically, it more than likely would have ended with him being out. But, you know, I mean, he did take a 102-mile-an-hour fastball deep, so he can obviously handle velo. So maybe I would have spun something, but I probably would have just thrown heaters.
Dylan, we appreciate the time. I want to give you one statistic. I don't know if you've read of your accomplishments this year. You had 13.4 strikeouts per nine innings with Birmingham. Now, one inning is good. You're well over that. And you got swinging strikes at a 16% clip. Have you seen this stat? Do you know who you're in? Okay, so Chris Sale, Max Scherzer, Patrick Corbin, Jacob DeGrom are the pitchers that are at that 16% clip.
Anybody good?
Which, you know, those are some decent names right there. So, I mean, you're getting guys to, you're in the zone, and they're not touching you. That's got to give you a ton of confidence, I would think.
Yeah, you know, honestly, the biggest thing it does is, you know, if you fall behind 1-0 or 2-0, you know, just attack. I mean, obviously that's awesome, and, you know, when everything's going right, it feels like you're 0-2 to everybody real fast. So, that's really special. I didn't know that, so I appreciate you guys telling me that. That'll, you know, boost my confidence a little bit going in next year, and hopefully I can repeat it and, you know, do everything I need to.
One step at a time, right? That's got to be your mindset?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah I'm just resting now, and then I'll start hitting the weights a little bit and get ready for spring training.
All right. Well, Dylan, we appreciate talking to you today. Continued success for you. We look forward to wherever you're at next year, following you. And, of course, the day when you get up here and join the White Sox on the big league level. But thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.